Lemonade, the Escape from Poland. This is part four, and here is Dr. K. Kuzma to tell us about the plans to escape.
Remember that Mom was riding back and forth to Dad. They found out that Daddy was alive. Daddy was where now? Daddy was at a displaced persons camp, a camp where people didn't have a home, that were displaced from their real home, were staying until they could get permanent location. And Daddy had a dream. The dream was to go to America. And he kept writing back to Mommy, and Mommy said what? No, come back to Poland, because she had plenty of money and she had a nice home to live in. And what did Janek's father keep writing back? No, you come to Germany. So the story begins tonight, knowing that there's the secret policeman always around and you're never quite safe. The story begins tonight with a knock on the window. And everybody kind of wonders, what is it this time? Remember the last time this happened and the secret policeman was there? They had to leave their home. Was it going to happen again? Janek looked out the window, and there he saw somebody that he recognized. Why, it was a lady he used to know way, way, way back. And an old friend of the family. And so they opened the door and she came in and she had an incredible story. She said that Daddy got tired of riding back and forth and you wouldn't come to Germany. And so he hired me to come and get all, in fact, about four different families hired this lady to come and get all the families together and help them escape across the border. I mean, this lady was an escape artist, if there ever was an escape artist. She was in Germany. Then she heard that her husband was back in Poland. So she went back over the border into Poland. She searched around for him, and then she heard that he was back in Germany. So she had to escape back into Germany. She just couldn't go legally back into Germany. So she knew how to do it. This is how you do it if you need to escape across the border. In case you need to escape across the border, you'll all know now. You just get in a great big hay wagon full of hay. But you make sure there's a false bottom in the hay wagon. So when you hit the border and the officials take the big pitchforks and go down through the hay like this, to make sure that there's nobody hiding in the hay, you don't get hit because you're lying there in the bottom of the hay wagon with boards over the top of you. She said it's easy to go across the border. Well, Janek's mother didn't know quite what to say. Here was this lady that they used to know. They trusted her. And here she came with a special letter from her husband. Please come with this lady. Trust her. She knows how to get back and forth across the border. She will help you. Please come. Well, this lady knew that if she could just bring something very special to the children, that they would want to go to America. Now, if you wanted to have someone come out of Poland and risk their lives escaping, what would you take them to make them want to go over the border? A Porsche. Well, that probably would do it. Well, this lady thought and thought, and finally she decided, I know what will do it. And so she had a knapsack with her, and she took off her knapsack, and she opened it up, and she had peanuts in there. The kids from Poland had never tasted peanuts. Oh, and they tasted them, and oh, they tasted so delicious. They were so wonderful. And then, to top it all off, she had some soda crackers. And they tasted these soda crackers. They had never tasted soda crackers before. And they tasted them, and they thought it was manna from America. They thought it was wonderful. They had never tasted anything so delicious. And the kids were saying, "Mom, please, let's go, let's go. Daddy wants to take us to America. Let's escape, let's go." Well, Mom thought about it a little bit. She looked around at all those things she had and finally decided, "Okay, we'll go." So the lady wrote down a date. And on this special time, on this date, they were supposed to come to the border town, to the train station, and meet her there. And together with three or four other families, she would help all these women and all these children whose daddies were down in Germany. She would help them all escape. But they were to be there at a certain time, a certain place. She said, "Will you be there?" And Mommy said, "Okay, we will be there." The lady went away to find the other families, and Mommy began selling all the things that she had, getting rid of it, because she couldn't take it all with her. But she planned to take the cash with her. I mean, she had lost so many times, lost that first house back in Putsk where they had lived for such a nice long time. She lost everything there. And then the second house where she had so many things, and the Inkavo Day came and forced her to just take a few suitcases. Why, she lost everything again. And she wasn't about to lose the third time. She was going to plan very carefully. So she turned it all into cash. Now, how do you carry around $10,000 if you got it all in cash? I don't know exactly what the amount of money was, but it was a large amount of money. Well, she figured that Janik would be the safest person to put it on. Who would bother a little boy? Now, they might search her. So what she did is that she first had him get dressed in something like a Pathfinder suit, a Boy Scout outfit that had lots of pockets in it. And so he stuffed all those pockets with all this money. And then, over the top of that, she put another suit of clothing. And over the top of that, a big jacket and a few coins in his pocket. And that's the way they traveled when they left that house with the red gate and took the train into Stettin, that border town. That's how they traveled, with all the money on Janik. I mean, he was loaded. That special date came, and they went into town on the train and got off the train at the train station, and there was the lady waving at them. Oh, they were good. They were so happy that she was there, because they had no idea how to escape over the border. And they had their suitcases, and George was in his baby buggy, and everything was ready. And then they saw, oh, there's another family that had gathered, and another family, and Mommy and the kids knew some of them from way back when they were in Putsk. They knew some of these families, and now they were coming together, and it was so exciting. All the mommies had to do now was to find a place for all these mommies and all these children to live until they could figure out how they could escape over the border. So they were kind of standing around the train station, and they were discussing, well, how are we going to find a place to live? Well, one mommy went off in this direction, one mommy went off in that direction, another mommy went off in this direction to try to find a place to stay for a few days so they could figure out how they could escape. And then they would all come back to the train station to try to figure out, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't find a place. Oh, I didn't find a place either. I didn't find a place either. Because everybody was crowded into this border town. Because all the people who were German, who had gotten caught in Poland, were trying to get across the border. Now, what happened after the war? Poland used to be right here. But after the war, the Russians said, well, we're going to take part of Poland. The part that has the oil and all the other good mineral resources. We'll just take this part of Poland. Well, that made Poland that big. That was no fair. And because Germany lost the war, they said, well, we'll just move Poland's border down here. So instead of Poland being here, Poland was now down here. Which meant when they moved the border, a lot of people who thought they were safe in Germany suddenly got caught behind the communist border. They were back in Poland because they just moved the border. So they all wanted to leave Poland. Now, if you were German and you had German papers to prove it, you could leave Poland legally. You just presented your German papers, and if they saw that they were legitimate, they were legal, they would just sign a form for you, and you could go in to a special camp. And in that camp, once a week, a train would come and pick up all the people that had been processed and were legally German. They knew they were Germans, and the train would come and pick them up and take them on into Germany. Well, Mommy looked at all those people, and she kind of remembered that, but they still had to figure out what they were going to do, and they were, of course, all Polish. They were all standing there late in the day after searching all over town for a place to stay and couldn't find a place. A railroad official, a Polish railroad official, came up to them and said, I know you're trying to escape. Come with me. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, if they said they were going to escape and they were caught by an official of the government, they could be sent to Siberia. Oh, no, no, we're not trying to escape. I know you are trying to escape. Come with me. I have a place for you to stay. No, no, we're finding a place to stay. Just wait, just some of the mommies have gone off to find a place to stay. We'll have a place to stay tonight. Don't worry about us. Well, about an hour later, another mom came back, and another mom came back. No place to stay in that whole town. So once again, that Polish railroad official came up to all those women and the children and all their baggage, and he said, I know you are trying to escape. Please come with me. I have a place for you to stay. No, no, we're not trying to escape. We'll find a place. We'll find a place. And this Polish railroad official got so frustrated with all those women that finally he grabbed the wheel, the baby buggy with baby George in it, and he started to run away with baby George in the baby buggy. Guess what all those mothers and children did? They ran after the railroad official who was running away with baby George. And they ran across town, and he led them to a long barrack-like building. And he told them they could stay here for as long as they needed to stay here until they figured out a way to escape. Oh, we're not going to escape. No, not us. But they had no place else to stay. They went into this long barrack-like building, and there were lots of beds. Lots of beds all lined up, one next to the other, all lined up. They brought in all their things. And the kids were always kind of curious, you know, when you get to a new place. I don't know if you ever do this, when you get to a motel and you kind of look around and open things up and pull the drawers open to hopefully somebody has left a $100 bill in one of those drawers, you know, and you kind of look under everything and search under the bed. Suddenly, Yannick, as he was looking under the bed, stopped. There was a great big long axe under the bed. Then they looked under the next bed, and there was another axe under the bed. And under the next bed, there was another. All the beds had axes under them. Well, they had never seen anything like this. It was kind of scary to be in a place where they had axes under all the beds. But that night, they went to sleep. And the next morning, the lady who had come to help them escape out of Poland said, "Well, I'm going now to arrange for a big hay wagon so that we can all get under at the bottom of the hay wagon. Then they'll put the boards on top of us. Then they'll put the hay on top of that. So when we get to the border and the officials take the big pitchforks, put it down through the hay, it won't hit any of us, and we'll just go on through the border." "Wait a minute," said Mom. "Let's see. Five women and 16 kids in a hay wagon? Can you imagine 16 kids in the bottom of a hay wagon? Somebody's going to sneeze. What if they would sneeze when we're going through the border? And then they would find us. Why? If they would find us trying to escape, they would send us to Siberia. We can't take that chance." "Well," said the lady, "what else are we going to do? We can't get across the border. There's barbed wire, there's searchlights, there's a spot that's called a no man's land where the grass, you can't even, you know, crawl across because the grass has all been mowed. They'll find us. I mean, 5 women and 16 kids coming across the border. I mean, they'll know. We have to figure out a better way of escaping." Mommy started to pray. And she got an interesting idea. She was German by birth. And she remembered all the German people who had been displaced in Poland caught when the border changed. Why, they were getting to go to Germany legally if they had papers. Well, a lot of people had lost their papers during the war. And if you had lost your papers during the war, as you were forced out of your home, you could go to a special office and apply to get new papers. Because she was German, she felt she had a right to those papers. Now, technically, she was Polish because she had married a Polish man. She had a Polish marriage certificate, and she had a Polish birth certificate for each one of the kids, and she had all the Polish school records. And she figured she didn't want to get rid of those because they were important papers. But she thought that maybe if she did it right, she could get German papers for the whole family. And maybe she could get them for all 4 families. So she took some of that money out of Yannick's pocket and she started rolling up $100 bills. And she put it in a cigarette case, really nice cigarette case. And she prayed. And she went up to the official at the window that was the official that was responsible for getting papers for people who had lost their German papers. And she said to the man, "Sir, I am German." And she spoke beautiful German. "I am German. I don't have any papers. I need papers for myself and my 4 children. And I need papers for 4 other mothers and all their children. Can you get me papers?" And the man, he looked at her and he shook his head. "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't think I can." "Please," she said, "we need papers. Our husbands are all over in Germany waiting for us. We must have these papers." And at the same time, she handed him the box of, quote, cigarettes. He opened the box and saw how peculiar these cigarettes looked. And he shut the box and he said, "Well, maybe I could arrange to get some papers for you." So in another day or so, she had papers for everyone and their whole party. But the interesting thing is that one lady didn't speak any German. Now, if you were going through a border to be searched to make sure you were German and you had all your papers in order and you didn't speak any German at all, what would you do? Now, you got to go through the border. You can't hide. She played as if she were deaf and dumb. She had her papers, and she walked through as if she couldn't hear or she couldn't talk. And she walked right through. All the other mothers walked right through. Now, it was illegal to take money over the border. They didn't want you to take any money out of Poland if you were going into Germany. They hated the Germans for what the Germans had done to them during the war, and they didn't want any of their money to go over there. Well, Mother thought about that. You know, it really wasn't fair. She had already lost 2 times. Daddy didn't have any money at all. It would certainly come in handy. So she said, I think I'll try to take some money. So there was Yannick with his Pathfinder outfit filled with money and a few coins in his pocket, his black satchel on his back, and in that black satchel was something extremely important. Another thing she did not want to leave behind were all those Polish papers that really proved they were Polish citizens at this moment in history. Before the war, you could be Polish and German. After the war, you had to be one or the other. And she had married a Polish man. But she didn't want to get rid of the birth certificates and all those certificates. So she very carefully opened a school book. And she put the papers in between the pages of the school book. Closed the school book. And put it in the black satchel, the school knapsack that Yannick used to take to school. It was a leather knapsack. It had beautiful gold buckles, and you could lock it. So she put the book in there with a number of other books, and Yannick went through the border, and the man said, do you have any money? And he pulled out his pockets and emptied a few coins there, and the man took them, and he ushered Yannick all through. With all that money and all those Polish papers on him. They showed them where they could stay in this little apartment. It had a cement floor like this and just a couple cots for them to sleep in. And they put all their things over by the wall. Oh, they were so pleased to be there. Now all they had to remember is just keep speaking German. Just keep speaking German. So nobody would find out. Keep speaking German. Well, that was easy until you got angry at somebody. And when you get angry at somebody and need to argue, it's very hard to argue in a second language when you're not really very fluent at that language. So suddenly the kids would get angry and they would start to argue in Polish. And then they would remember and try to change to German. And a couple times they almost got caught. One afternoon, a knock came to the door of their apartment. Another knock. And again, it was a secret policeman. One of the officials of that camp. And he said, we have found some silver in the apartment under you, and we saw you talking to those people, so we are going to search all the things that you brought here to see if there's any silver at all. Oh, no, said Mommy, we don't have any silver. She didn't tell him that she had money or those Polish papers, but she said, we don't have any silver. Well, they said, we have to search. The man forced his way into their room, went over to the big pile of suitcases and all the boxes they had, made the family stand over here to the side, and he began searching through those boxes. Box after box, he opened, he looked through to make sure there was nothing that shouldn't be there, and then he put the box over on the other pile, and all the time he was getting closer to the black satchel that was lying right in the middle of the pile. All the children knew what was in that black satchel. They knew that if he would look in that black satchel and find those papers, instead of going to Germany, it would be Siberia. So they began to pray. like they'd never prayed before, that the man would not find those papers. He looked through one box, then another box, and the closer he got, the more nervous the family got. And finally, they were able to catch Christine's eye. She was standing the closest to where the black satchel was. And the family kind of got her eye and motioned. And she caught on that they wanted her to pick up the black satchel. And while the official wasn't looking, to put it over on the other pile of everything that had been searched. So she waited. And she waited. Till just the right time. And it's really hard when you're 10, you know, to do everything right. And she waited. And finally, he kind of turned the other way a little bit. And she quickly reached over, picked up the black satchel. And just as she was ready to put it on the other pile, he started to turn around. And she dropped the black satchel. And it fell over. And the clasp hit the cement floor and made a noise. And the man turned around and yelled, "I told you not to move! What did you do?" Well, they played deaf and dumb. They did not answer. He said, "Tell me what happened. I know something happened." He knew something had happened. But the family wouldn't answer. He looked back at the pile. He couldn't figure out what was wrong. So he continued searching through all the boxes. And finally, after he got to the very end and had everything over on the pile of all the search things, he stood up and he looked around at the family and he said, "I think I missed something. I'm going to have to search through these things again." This time, he put the family over on the other side of the room where they couldn't possibly touch anything on the pile. And once more, he began searching through those boxes. This time, everything was out and open. You could tell he had looked through it once before. And this family prayed like they had never prayed before. He got closer and closer to the black satchel, and at last he picked it up. And he looked at it in a rather strange way, and he looked over at the family, and tomorrow I will tell you what happened.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.